The scripture reading this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 9, the first 30 verses. The conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Listen to the word of God. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, but rise and enter the city and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate or drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so he might receive his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go. For he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me, so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose to bring them bound before the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him. But his disciples took him by night and led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers heard this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace, and being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. So far, the reading of the Word of God. Before we open this marvelous passage, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank You. In Your great grace, You arrested this chief enemy of the Lord and brought him to be one of Your greatest apostles. Lord, bless us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. The story of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus is one of the most dramatic stories in the whole Bible. It is a wonderful story. It is a story of how an enemy, an arch enemy, became an ardent disciple of Jesus. I mean, it is a miracle. It is such an amazing story. I mean, he was the chief agent of persecution. He did everything he could to stamp out the Jesus heresy, as he called it. He wanted no one to worship Jesus. And he did everything he could to stop it, to stamp it out. He went to the chief priests, and he got it was like a business transaction. Because the chief priests in Jerusalem had responsibility for all the synagogues in that whole area, and there were synagogues in Damascus, and there were people in Damascus who were followers of Jesus. You know, after Stephen was stoned, the followers of Jesus were scattered, and some of them went to Damascus and spread the gospel there. And so Saul of Tarsus had to get a business. Actually, it was a business order from the chief priests in Jerusalem to go to Jerusalem, I mean to go to Damascus, and catch and bind the followers of Jesus, both men and women, and bring them bound to Jerusalem. And he had a police detachment with him. He was on a mission from the Supreme Court of Jerusalem to do this. He was the head agent of catching Christians. That was his delight. It was his job. And so he was mounted on a horse, probably, and the detachment of soldiers were with him, and they were on their way to Damascus. And in Chapter 22 of Acts, Paul describes his conversion in another place, and then he says it was high noon. It was high noon, and the sun is at its brightest. And from the sky came a flashing light, brighter than the sun. And that flashing light just came down on Saul of Tarsus. And he jumped off the horse and was down on his knees. And from that light comes a voice. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul says, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. What a revelation to Saul of Tarsus. He was convinced that he was doing the right thing. He was convinced that Jesus was a fraud. He did not believe that Jesus was alive. He did not believe that he arose from the grave. He followed the lie of the Pharisees who said his disciples stole his body. And now he's out to catch everyone who follows Jesus. And Jesus stops him and says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And in that moment, Saul sees something that he never saw before. And that is that there is a unity between Jesus and his people, a unity between Jesus and his church. And when the stones fell on Stephen, they were actually falling on Jesus. He felt the stones hit Stephen's head and his flesh. And every one of the Christians that was caught by Saul, Jesus felt their pain. Why are you persecuting me? There's a unity between Jesus and his people. And do you know, you see that theme in Paul's writing of the unity between Jesus Christ and his church. Paul uses that beautiful analogy of the human body. Christ is the head and we are the members of his body, as the unity of your head to your body is an organic, physical, unbreakable union of your head and your body. So it is between Jesus and us. Now when we take the Lord's Supper, there is that unity again to be seen. Jesus said, "This is my body that is broken for you." When we take that bread, it is a sign and a seal of the body of Christ. That even though he is in heaven and we are here on earth, we are nevertheless bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. There is an intimate, organic, mystical union between Jesus and his people. Do you believe that? Do you know that? That there is an unbreakable bond between Jesus and his people. That's a wonderful truth. That is the truth that underlies that great theme of the unity of Christ and his people. We are his body. The church is the body of Jesus. That is not just a word, it's a reality. That's why Jesus said to him, "Why are you persecuting me?" When you catch Christians and when you harm them, you're harming me. In the Old Testament, it's already hinted at, like Isaiah 63, in all of your afflictions, I am afflicted, says the Lord. He experiences that too. There's a unity. Remember how Paul says in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ, so it is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live in the by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." There's that mystical union between Jesus and his people. Do you know, when you look at the commandments, and I'm thinking especially of the seventh commandment, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." The Apostle Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 6. And he says, in adultery, in being one with a harlot, or being one with someone other than your wife, you are abusing the body of Christ. You see, the whole issue of adultery is a temple issue. It's a temple issue. Our body, your body, the body of your little children, is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is. It's a precious thing. There is a unity between Jesus and us. So close. And that's why Jesus says to Paul, "Why are you persecuting me? You're doing it not only against people, you're doing it against me. I feel it. It's my pain." Now, do you know when we have pain, when you have pain, Christ feels that. He feels your pain. He knows what it is. He dwells within us. That's an awesome thought. It's not just a theoretical detachment between Jesus and his people. No, it is an organic unity. That's why Jesus uses illustrations like, "I am the vine, you are the branches." Now the branch is part of the vine. It's part of it. There is an organic unity between Jesus and his people. That's why he says to Paul, "Why are you persecuting me?" And then Paul says, "Who are you, Lord?" And he says, "I am Jesus. I am Jesus whom you're persecuting." So the Lord says to Paul, to Saul of Tarsus, "I am the one who has gathered these dear people to my side. I've given my life for them, and you're persecuting me." And then the Lord says to Saul, who asked him, "Lord, what must I do?" He changed. This proud Pharisee who was out to murder Christians, he now addresses Jesus and says, "Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? This man is broken. This proud man who was like a wolf among the sheep is now a bleating lamb. Lord, what shall I do? What shall I do?" And the Lord said, "Rise and go to Damascus, and it will be shown you what you must do." You notice that the Lord Jesus honors the ordinary means of the spread of the gospel. Jesus could have explained the whole gospel to him right there on the Damascus road. But he leaves that to Ananias, his servant in Damascus, and he says, "You go to Damascus and it will be shown you what you must do." And so Saul is blind. And the men who were with him, they must have seen the light that shone. And they heard a voice, but they didn't understand it. And so they lead him, a blind man now. And they lead him to Damascus, and he's 3 days without food or drink, blind. And during those 3 days, he is just wrestling with himself. This proud man who was out to kill every follower of Jesus is now broken. He is broken. His proud heart was crushed. And he is crying out to the Lord. He's praying. And the Lord appears to Ananias in a vision and says, "Ananias, I've got a job for you. I want you to go to Straight Street, to a house, to the house of Judas, because there's a man there named Saul, and he's praying. He's praying." What a beautiful sign of a changed heart. He's praying. And Ananias says to the Lord, "Lord, I heard an awful lot of terrible things about this man. that he wrought havoc in Jerusalem, and he's going to do the same thing at Damascus. And the Lord says, you go. He is a chosen vessel for me. And so Ananias goes to Straight Street, goes to the house of Judas, and he meets Saul, blind, probably with tears running down his cheeks, totally broken man, humble, crying out to the Lord. And Ananias says, brother Saul. Oh, I love that word, brother. Brother Saul, you're my brother. You came to kill me, but I'm now your brother because you're changed. Jesus came to you. Jesus is in you now. You're a new man. And scales fell from his eyes, and he could see. And Ananias, no doubt, explained the gospel to him. You see, Saul had been kicking against the pricks. Saul was of the absolute certainty that a person was saved by keeping the law of Moses. You were saved by becoming a Jew, of doing everything that the Old Testament law required. He was just utterly convinced of that. And now, Ananias explains to him, no, it's not by works. Our best works are like filthy rags, quoted from the Old Testament. No, Saul, that's not the way it is. It's by grace. It's grace alone. Helpless. We are helpless. It is only the Lord, just as I am, we sing, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And since thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. That was Ananias' message to him. It's only grace. And oh, how Paul learned that lesson. And he writes about it in his letters. Paul was a chosen instrument. He was a brilliant man. Well educated. He knew Greek. He knew Hebrew. He was well aware of the issues of the day, and now he is a changed man. He knows the truth, and he speaks the truth from his heart, and he calls everyone now to follow Jesus. And so he was baptized. Ananias baptized him. And Saul is now a member of the body of Jesus, buried with Christ in baptism, raised with him to newness of life. And immediately, we read, immediately, he began to preach that Jesus is the Son of God. And the followers of Jesus, as they heard that, they were amazed. They were just amazed. They could hardly believe what they were hearing. This man who came to catch Christians is now proclaiming that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we have life in His name. The message has radically changed from a murderer to a disciple. And he is preaching, and you know the Jews there, they really got upset. And they were all threatening to kill Paul, and he hears about it. But the followers of Jesus got him out of the city, and he went to Jerusalem. Well, you know the story. It's a beautiful story. Amazing grace, that's what it is. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. John Newton wrote it, but I'll tell you, Paul could have written the same thing. Who saved a wretch. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful truth? And everyone said, Our Father in heaven, how wonderful is your grace. Marvelous grace of the living God. And the most wonderful thing is it's true. Jesus is our Savior. He's alive. He is in heaven. He knows us. He is united to us. He is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. Oh, Heavenly Father, no wonder you said to John in the book of Revelation, Blessed are those who die in the Lord, for they see Him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. Lord, bless us this day. Hear us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.